Welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and today Rabbi Schneider is explaining the mysteries in the Gospel of John. Pride is a serious sin, and the Bible tells us that pride, it caused Satan's downfall, and if we're not careful, it can cause ours too. And that's why today Rabbi Schneider shares a message on pride's toll on faith. And this comes from our study on the Gospel of John. If you're new to this program, you can learn more about us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And while you're there, don't forget to download Rabbi's study guide for more insights on this episode. But right now, let's get started.
We've been going through the Gospel of John line by line from the very beginning. We're presently, beloved ones, talking about how Yeshua was in the temple during the Feast of Sukkot, in English, Tabernacles, and on the last day of the Feast of Sukkot, the great day of the feast called Hoshana Rabbah, Jesus cried out from the temple these words, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." So Yeshua makes this pronouncement. They're anticipating the Messiah. A big celebration had just taken place at the temple. And Jesus speaks out about what they were celebrating, because they were celebrating that Messiah was coming. They were looking for the Messiah. A great ceremony took place that reminded them that Messiah was on the way. And in the midst of that day, Jesus basically says, "I'm the one that you're looking for. I'm the Messiah. And that water that you're pouring out on the altar right now that reminds you of the Spirit that will come when Mashiach, when Messiah comes, you'll have that water. It'll flow out of your innermost being if you'll come to me." Jesus was bold, loud, and clear about declaring who he was. Let me ask you, are you bold, loud, and clear in your witness for Jesus? I hope you are. I hope you're not mamsy-pamsy, a lot of believers, you hear me say this so often, they're not strong enough in their conviction of who Jesus is to tell their neighbor about Jesus. They're too timid. They don't believe enough that people that don't believe in him will actually go to hell. But Jesus was very clear about himself. He knew who he was. He knew where he came from. He knew what he came to do. He knew he was the only way to the Father. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he said. "No man cometh to the Father but through me." He was very clear about who he was, and he was also very clear about what would happen to those that came to him and what would happen to those that didn't come to him. So when you met Jesus, you had to make a decision. Okay, Jesus was not someone that blended in. He wasn't someone that just blended in. He was a person with such a strong presence, personality, and word that you either were for him or you were against him, but you had to make a decision. And I think that should be true about you and I as well in our walk in the world. Our witness for Jesus, the way that we talk, the way that we live, should be so clear. Our witness verbally should be so distinct and so clear and so vocal. Our separation from the world should be so evident that when people meet us, they're going to either like us or not like us. But Jesus said, if you're of the world, the world's going to love you. You'll be able to fit in anywhere. But if you're living for me, he said, the world will hate you because I chose you out of the world. If you're of the world would love you. But because I chose you out of the world, Yeshua said, therefore the world hates you. If it hated me, it will hate you. So we get to this point in the narrative now that Jesus just announced who he was. And then it says in verse number 40, "Some of the people therefore, when they heard these words, were saying, 'This certainly is the prophet, the Messiah, the Mashiach.' Others were saying, 'This is the Christ.' Still others were saying, 'Surely the Christ is not going to come from Galilee, is he?'" And so you see this division that's taking place. Some said he's the prophet we're expecting, the one Moses wrote about. Others said he's the anointed one. Others said, he's from Galilee. He's not the one. Big division. And let's continue on. They continued, "Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the descendants of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" And so a division occurred in the crowd because of them. Yeshua was, first of all, born in Bethlehem. I hope you'll get my book, Messianic Prophecy Revealed, where I go through the Hebrew Bible and look at all the scriptures there that Jesus fulfilled. And Yeshua's line is traced through his mother back to David. And so Yeshua fulfilled all the messianic prophecies, but still there was a great division. People didn't understand that he was born in Bethlehem. They just knew him as someone from Galilee. And then again, we see the division. It's growing more and more fierce every day until it culminates with him being crucified. So this division occurs, and I want to pick up now in verse number 46. The officers answered, "Never has a man spoken the way this man speaks." The Pharisees then answered them, "You've not also been led astray, have you?" Some are saying, "I've never heard wisdom like this." And those, the Pharisees, the religious leaders that opposed him, were saying, "You're deceived too. You're deceived too. Have you been led astray also?" Then it continues, "No one of the rulers or the Pharisees has believed in him, has he? But this crowd which does not know the law is accursed." So what's going on is that the religious leaders are saying, the only ones that are believing in him, the only ones that are believing in this Jesus are ignorant people that don't know the law. That's what's going on. None of us Pharisees, none of us scribes that actually know God's word, that know God, that know the Torah, none of us believe in him. The only people that believe in him are the accursed ones, they were saying, that don't know the law. So once again, they said, "No one of the rulers or Pharisees has believed in him, has he? But this crowd, which does not know the law, is accursed." Isn't that interesting how pride puffeth up and leads people away from God? They were so puffed up in their own knowledge, they couldn't recognize the Mashiach when he actually came. The word says that knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. You see, if we go back to the very beginning of the Word of God, to the book of Bereshit, the book of Genesis, or the book of beginnings, we find where it all began. The Lord said to Adam and Eve, "From any tree of the garden you may eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat, for the day that thou eat, thou shalt surely die." See, the Lord wanted people to live in dependency on himself, on his spirit, in simplicity, in humility, in childlikeness before him. But when Eve and Adam ate from the tree of knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they went from living from dependency on God to instead began to live by their own ability to figure things out for themselves. They became puffed up in knowledge, and that's what led the Pharisees and the religious leaders astray. They trusted in their own knowledge, and they became puffed up in a spirit of the anti-Messiah, which blinded them from seeing the simplicity of Jesus. He was the chief cornerstone that they stumbled over. Their knowledge and their pride had blinded them to the truth. Now, of course, having a knowledge of the law when you're humble before the Lord is a most excellent thing. But without Mashiach, all that knowledge does is puff up.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi will be right back. If you're looking to better equip yourself in your study, pursuit, and growth in Jesus the Messiah, be sure to go online and explore our treasury of Messianic content. You'll find Messianic teaching tools and videos, information about God's seven annual feasts, the Hebrew names, titles of God, and so much more. This content is ready and available for you today online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. At the core of everything we do at Discovering the Jewish Jesus is our commitment to declare the whole counsel of God's Word from start to finish. In fact, Rabbi's unique way of connecting the Old and the New Testaments has helped people all over the world to understand the Bible with fresh eyes. To join us in this work of God, give a donation online today at discoveringthejewishjesus.com or call 800-777-7835. And now here is Rabbi Schneider.
But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and he began to teach them. Isn't that beautiful? He sat down with the people. He's one of us. God made flesh. He literally sat down among the people and began to teach. And I love this because he's sitting with you right now. Even as he sat down amongst the people, listen in, early in the morning, he came again into the temple and all the people were coming to him. He didn't just stand up above them. Listen, he sat down with them and began to teach. There's a time to stand up for sure, but there's also a time to just sit with people. And Jesus is sitting with you, beloved one, right next to you in your chair. He's so humble. Did you know that Yeshua is the most humble being on the planet? Yeshua that is here right now in the person of the Spirit, because Jesus makes himself available to us by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings us the revelation of who he is. Did you know that the Holy Spirit, that Yeshua, is the most humble being, the softest, the gentlest, the tenderest, the most compassionate, the most understanding being on the planet? If there's anybody that you can lean your head and cry on, it's him. If there's anybody that's going to receive you, it's him. If there's anybody that's soft enough for you to share your deepest pain with, it's him. And that actually comes to bear full force in the story that continues to unfold. So as we continue the story, he sat down, began to teach, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, having set her in the center of the court. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say?" They were saying this to test him so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." What a word. First of all, I just want to accentuate the point that I just made earlier, that here was this woman obviously committing vile sin, and yet Jesus still loved her. Jesus still loved her. Jesus came to save sinners like you and I. So Jesus was offering her a second chance. Jesus didn't condemn her. He didn't put her to death as the religious leaders wanted. He said, "Woman, neither do I condemn you. No one's throwing a stone." Why? Because Jesus said, "He that's without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." They had enough conviction of the Holy Spirit at that time in their hearts to recognize they were all guilty in some respect before God. So no one picked up a stone. Then Jesus said to the woman, "Woman, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And I love the balance there, the forgiveness that we have, but also the command to stop sinning. You see, sometimes people take Yeshua's forgiveness as a license to continue to sin. Some people think all they have to do is go confess their sin, and as long as they confess their sins are forgiven. Now they can go commit the same sins over again, come back and confess, and the whole problem's taken care of again. So week after week, it's sinning, confess, then you go back out, sin again, and as long as you come back and confess, you're okay. But Jesus was calling her to a radically different upward lifestyle. He said, "Woman, I don't condemn you either. Now go, but sin no more." Listen, beloved, willful sin opens up a legal entryway for spirits of darkness to come and take habitation within the soul. See, when we're walking in the light, we're protected in the light. But when we're walking in the darkness, there's no protection. Now, thank God in His mercy, He's protected you and me so many times when we were in sin, even before we came to a saving knowledge of the truth. We know that our lives could have been snuffed out, but God loved us. He had His hand on us even before we knew Him. So God does at times protect people when they're in the darkness. But when people know the Lord and they know better, and yet they continue to choose to sin, oftentimes what happens, beloved, is God takes His hand of protection and mercy off those people's lives, and literally demons come and gain entrance into those people's lives and literally possess them. I'm not saying that they necessarily foam at their mouth, but they literally become possessed by demonic entities. And so Jesus speaks to this woman in such tenderness, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And I want you to know, beloved, that if you and I are not growing in obedience, if we're not continuing to close the door of our hearts and minds to sin, to anger, to bitterness, to gossip, to watching the wrong things on television, to listening to the wrong things, if you and I know the Lord, and we're not continuing to block sin, to check it, to keep it out, if we know the Lord and yet willfully engage in letting sin have dominion in us, I want you to know the Scripture says there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin but a fearful expectation of judgment. We cannot continue to sin and expect that we're going to continue to be blessed and protected. So Yeshua says to this woman, "Who condemns you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. From now on, sin no more." And so I just want to encourage you, every day I'm trying my best to watch what thoughts I let to dominate my mind. Because the devil is always there. The Bible says that sin in the Torah is crouching at the door. And sin's desire is for us, but we must master it. In other words, sin is a power. It's the power of the devil. And it's crouching at the door. In other words, sin is always ready to pounce on us. The devil is looking for somebody weak to devour. The Scripture says, but we must master it. Every day, all day long, the enemy is wanting to gain entrance into our thoughts. He's wanting us to agree with thoughts that are evil. He's wanting us to agree with thoughts of darkness, whether it's fear, accusation, hatred, greed, dishonesty, getting into agreement with immoral boundaries, whatever it is, the devil's always there. And if you and I aren't resisting it more and more powerfully every single day so that we're keeping our mind guarded, and keeping our heart guarded, if we're not living like this, Jesus said, go and sin no more, then we're going to find ourselves in a position where hardship will come into our lives. Remember, the Scripture says, he that continues to sin after receiving a knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains protection for that person, but a fearful expectation of judgment. And judgment begins at the household of God. So you and I need to be fearful of sinning, and we need a revival of the fear of God in our culture today. Because it's not just the love of God that keeps us walking in the straight and narrow way. It's the fear of God, knowing that if we sin, judgment and destruction will come upon us. The love of God and the fear of God are not opposites, beloved. They're complementary, and they're both manifestations of God's goodness into the human soul. I pray that the words that have come across to you today are words that will strengthen you and equip you to lead more and more of a righteous life, that the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart would always be pleasing to Him.
Amen. We're moving forward on our journey of faith as Rabbi Schneider takes us on a deep dive through the mysteries in the Gospel of John. You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and we encourage you, stay with us because Rabbi will be back soon with a special word of blessing. And today, we want to let you know that we're not only available on radio, but also on all major podcasting platforms as well. We'd love for you to check out our podcast channel, maybe on YouTube. Just search for Discovering the Jewish Jesus Podcast, and there you'll find that we upload our daily radio program, so you can always search for your favorite series. You can catch up on any programs you've missed. You can even find links to Rabbi's study notes. And if you're wanting to learn more about the Passover season that we're in right now, you can even watch videos on our specific playlist labeled All Passover Episodes. It's through your prayers and your faithful support that we can provide these daily programs and resources like the ones we just mentioned. And to share a little bit more about what's on Rabbi's heart and his mind, here he is now once again.
Beloved, week by week, I'm committed to accurately preaching and teaching the Word of God. Those of you that have been following my ministry for a while, note that I oftentimes go through whole books of the Bible, line by line, simply teaching and preaching God's Word. Do you know there aren't a whole lot of people left that are teaching and preaching this way? There's a lot of motivational sermons and so on, but to simply teach God's Word, beloved, it's becoming rare and rare. I want to encourage you, if you're being blessed by this ministry, to financially support us. We are going all over the world through broadcasting and on-the-ground outreaches, teaching God's Word. You know, the Bible says that we should support financially men that are being faithful to the truth, that go out for the sake of the truth. I want to ask you today, would you sow a financial offering into this ministry? You'll be rewarded for what you do, and beloved, your offerings will be used to reach people all over the world.
To respond to Rabbi right now, just stop by our website at discoveringthejewishjesus.com, or you can give us a call at 800-777-7835. That's 800-777-7835. And as a token of our appreciation for your gift, we'll send you our engaging and insightful newsletter. And for our new monthly partners, we'll send you an extra gift of appreciation, an authentic shofar from Israel. And right now, we're in the Passover season, which will continue through Tuesday, April the 30th at nightfall. Did you know that blowing the shofar, it has a place in God's specially set apart holy days? The sound of this beautiful instrument reminds us of God's faithfulness and His redemption. It also announces the coming of the King. So if you're looking for a tangible way to show your support while connecting the Jewish roots of our Christian faith, please become a monthly partner today at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And now to speak a sacred blessing over us, here's Rabbi Schneider.
Blessings trump curses. And in the book of Numbers chapter 6, we find the Aaronic blessing that God commanded Moses' brother Aaron, the high priest, to speak over the children of Israel. There's power in blessing, beloved ones. So take part in receiving Father's blessing upon your life today.
Yavarechech Yahweh Vayishmarecha Yair Yahweh Panav Elecha Vihunecha Yisa Yahweh Panav Elecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up with his countenance, and the Lord give you, beloved one, his peace. God bless you, and shalom.
I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Join us next time when Rabbi Schneider explains the pursuit of true happiness. That's coming up Friday on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.